Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, Questions by Vidura, text number 39. Yama Vutasvitanayo Pritayaha.
Yama Vutasvitanayo Pritayaha.
Partair Brito Pakshmabhir Akshiniva. Remat udayam ridhe svariktam.
Remat udayam ridhe svariktam.
Parat suparna viva vajri vaktra.
Parat suparna viva vajri vaktra.
Yamo.
Yamo.
Twins.
Twins.
Who are the twins being referred to here? Nakula and Sahadev. Utasvit.
Utasvit.
Weather.
Weather.
Tanayo.
Tanayo.
Sons.
Sons.
Pritayaha.
Pritayaha.
Of Prita.
Of Prita.
Partai.
Partai.
By the sons of Prita.
By the sons of Prita.
Brito.
Brito.
Protected.
Protected.
Pakshmabhi.
Pakshmabhi.
By shields.
By shields.
Akshini,
Akshini
of the eyes.
Of the eyes.
Eva,
Eva.
Like.
Like.
Rimate.
Rimate.
Playing carelessly.
Playing carelessly.
Udaya.
Udaya.
Snatching.
Snatching.
Mridhe.
Mridhe.
In the fight.
In the fight.
Svariktam.
Svariktam.
Own property.
Own property.
Parat.
Parat.
From the enemy.
From the enemy.
Duryodhana. Suparno,
Suparno.
Garuda.
Garuda,
the carrier of Lord Vishnu.
The carrier of Lord Vishnu.
Eva.
Eva.
Like.
Like.
Vajrivaktrat.
Vajrivaktrat.
From the mouth of Indra.
From the mouth of Indra.
Are the twin brothers who are protected by their brothers doing well? Just as the eye is always protected by the eyelid, they are protected by the sons of Prita, who snatched back their rightful kingdom from the hands of their enemy, Duryodhana, just as Garuda snatched nectar from the mouth of Indra, the thunderbolt carrier. Purport. Indra, the king of heaven, carries a thunderbolt in his hand. Zeus, in the Greek. He's got a thunderbolt. Handy having a thunderbolt. Good to be able to dispatch your enemies. Indra, the king of heaven, carries a thunderbolt in his hand and is very strong. Yet, Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, was able to snatch nectar from his mouth. So even though Indra is so strong, still he was not invincible. What did Shakespeare say? Many a slip twixt cup and lip. Right, he was just about to drink the nectar, taken away. Similarly, Duryodhana was as strong as the king of heaven. And still, the sons of Prita, the Pandavas, were able to snatch away their kingdom from Duryodhana. Both Garuda and the Partas are pet devotees of the Lord, and thus it was possible for them to face such strong enemies. Vidura's inquiry was about the youngest brothers of the Pandavas, namely Nakula and Sahadeva. These twin brothers were sons of Madri, the stepmother of the other Pandavas. But although they were stepbrothers, because Kunti took charge of them after the departure of Madri with her husband, Maharaja Pandu, Nakula and Sahadev were as good as the other three Pandavas, Yudhisthira, Bhima and Arjuna. The five brothers are known in the world as regular brothers. The three elder Pandavas took care of the younger brothers, just as the eyelid takes care of the eye. Vidura was anxious to know whether, after winning back their own kingdom from the hands of Duryodhana, the younger brothers were still living happily under the care of their elder brothers, of the elder brothers. Om Agyana Timirantasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurumimuktam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutave Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulam Gayate Gim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Dinatarinam. So, there's a hint here on how to overcome what appear to be very what appears to be insurmountable. The material energy is described as being like a vast ocean of struggle and impossible to overcome, right? Daivi hi esha gunamayi mamamaya duratsaya, Krishna says. Very, very difficult to overcome, just like here. It would appear Lord Indra is extremely powerful. Duryodhana, by all estimations, Duryodhana had the bigger army, the best fighters, and so appeared to be insurmountable. Yet, one who's a pet, here it says, a pet devotee. What does a pet devotee mean? Not something he runs around on a leash. He's my pet. Well, maybe. You know, Prabhupada says, we are Krishna's dogs. Right? That's why we have this Kantimala on here. That's where Krishna takes us around. We're meant to be Krishna's pets. Right? I think it's slightly different. Meaning here. Pet devotee means what? If you're my pet, what does that mean? Favorite. Somebody say favorite?
Yes.
Yeah. You're my favorite. So, when one is a favorite of Krishna, then almost anything is possible. So what appears to be, and as Krishna says, Daivi hi esha gunamayi mamamaya dharatya, material energy is very, very difficult to overcome, but if one surrenders to Krishna, I can't remember the third, what's the third line? Eva mam. Prapadyate. If you surrender, prapadyate. If one surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna will protect. Krishna will enable us to overcome what appears to be insurmountable. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma explains that the ocean of material existence is vast and impossible to overcome. But when one is protected by Krishna, by surrendering to Krishna, then the ocean of material existence shrinks into the amount of water that exists in the footprint of a calf. Right? If one surrenders to Murari, Mukunda Murari, so this is our business, right? This is our business, to become Krishna's pet devotee. Well, at least to be a devotee. We may not be a pet devotee. You know, if we look inside, then we see, you know, so many things, and then we realise, well, I'm not much of a devotee. But that's actually a qualification of a devotee, that one thinks oneself insignificant and dependent upon the protection of Krishna. We are all dependent upon the protection of Krishna. And in this case of Sahadev and Nakula, how do they get their protection? How do they get Krishna's protection? They get Krishna's protection from the devotees, right? Krishna's protection doesn't mean necessarily, and for most of us, it doesn't mean, well, careful. He's trying to steal the show. You're okay. Careful. Don't lean back too far. Danger at every step. Even in the temple. So, Nakula and Sahadev are protected. A very nice example is given of the eyelid protecting the eyes like a shield. Right? You know, when we're fighting, we're just like the Kamsa's right and left hand men last night. Right? They both had shields. Anybody, did you see the drama? Might not have seen it. One had his shield upside down. I don't know whether that was... they looked a bit like the Three Stooges. You know, foolish. They looked a bit foolish. But, you know, like the shield is in this kind of warfare, or in any warfare, actually, is a protection. Right? In warfare these days, what do they use as a shield? They get the women and the children and they put them in a place to protect, right? Stop the Israelis from bombing them, right? A horrible kind of a warfare, right? You don't mind to kill women and children. In the Vedic culture, this is not very not appreciated. So they're protected. Like the eye is protected by the eyelid, by their elder brothers, the Yudhisthira, Bhima, and Arjuna. These are the pet devotees of Krishna also. They were able to steal back the kingdom that had been usurped by Duryodhana and his brothers, who appeared, as I said, on the face of it, the Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra's family appeared to be the stronger. They appeared to have the upper hand in all circumstances, in all situations. But then, when the tide turned, as it does under Krishna's direction, then anything is possible. You know, when Krishna desires, then anything can happen. You know, there's that saying, what is it? Rake Krishna Mareke, Mare Krishna Rakeke. If Krishna wants to protect me, then no one can kill me. Right? And if Krishna wants to kill someone, then no one can protect him. There's no hope. So in this way, the Pandavas, even though the situation looked completely hopeless, Krishna was able to, through the work, because Krishna is the supreme, he's the Ishvaraha Parama Krishna. He's the supreme controller. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. His form even though he appears in the material world, his form, and even though it looks like that of an ordinary person from time to time, looks like an ordinary man, he is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. His form is eternal, full of knowledge, always blissful, never subject to the influence of the material energy. Even though Krishna appears in the material world, he is not influenced by the material energy like we are. There are no reactions for Krishna. There's no action and reaction as we understand it, or as we appreciate it, or as we experience it for Krishna. Whatever Krishna wants, he creates or gets via his different shaktis or different potencies. He himself doesn't have to act. But through his various shaktis, Leela Shakti and Jnana Shakti, Kripa Shakti, the Maya, Mahamaya, Yoga Maya, all these different potencies, they create the environment and the circumstances and the situations for Krishna in which he can enact his eternal pastimes. And of course, in those pastimes, he has various purposes to fulfill, but never at any time is he subject to the influence of the material energy. That's for us, this is the Mahamaya. But wherever he is, he's under the influence of the Yoga Maya and the Leela Shakti. So he forgets who he is. Well, not that he forgets who he is, but he is who he is, but he's playing the part, if you like. Just like last night, we had some guests, the member in the state legislative assembly, Martin Foley, came, and Michael Danby, the member of the House of Representatives in the federal parliament. They came for dinner and had a tour of the temple, and one of the gentlemen with them said, he's an Indian, born in Hyderabad, lived in Australia for 10 years and married an Aussie girl, right? And he said, I haven't worked out a way, I can't explain to my children how there's so many gods, right? So many gods. Another thing he said, I haven't taught my children how to eat with their fingers. So it's not very hard, you just, you know, thumb, finger. But interesting, he's struggling with his native culture to bring it into so-called civilized society, right, where we eat with our knives and forks, which is actually very Anglo-Saxon. It's not actually, not everywhere everybody eats with a knife and a fork. Anyway, I told him, I said that, you know, Krishna is like an actor. And so just as an actor, a very good actor, a Shakespearean actor will, you know, one night he may play Macbeth and he's fully absorbed in the character of Macbeth and, you know, doing his nefarious activities. And then in the next night he may be playing the role of Othello. Different scenery, different other actors, all playing their parts in their roles of that particular drama. Right? Same actor, different personalities that he's playing according to the drama that's being portrayed. you know, demonstrating the relationships and the mood and the meditation of all of these different personalities in their various activities. Absorbed, completely absorbed. Of course, when the drama's over, then he just, you know, takes off, then he's just himself. Right? So Krishna also, he takes on the various personalities of the various incarnations. So that in Ram Leela, he's, you know, Lord Ram. And we were discussing the other day, Vasudev, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan, they all appear with Lord Ram as his brothers. They forget. Lord Ram forgets that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvaraha Parama. Well, not entirely. He doesn't forget entirely that, but he plays the role then of Lord Ram, the saintly king, if you like. Upholding the principles of dharma, religiosity, you know, without any deviation, practically speaking, very principled. Then we have, you know, Krishna. Of course, Krishna is unique. Let's have another example. Lord Nrisimhadev, that's a real hard one to work out, right? Half man, half lion, who, tears apart his enemies, right? The parents of his devotees, right? This is what Lord Nrisimhadev does to the parents of his devotees. You know, there was a court case in New York, and they were trying to, you know, brainwashing and all of that. I said, look what their God does to the parents. What kind of a cult is this? They encourage killing the parents. Huh? Where's the compassion? Now, this is only for parents who misbehave. Right? If the parents behave themselves, then everything's okay. But, you know, it's Krishna again, but in the form of a half man, half lion. Talk about breaking the rules, right? Because Lord Brahma was trying to be, it's not Lord Brahma, because Hiranyakashipu was trying to be very, very sneaky, getting a benediction from Lord Brahma so he couldn't be killed. But Krishna's the most trickiest of anybody. And so he, appearing in the form of Lord Nrisimhadev, half man, half lion, he was able to circumvent all of the benedictions and boons that Lord Brahma had given Hiranyakashipu. An expansion of the Lord's pastime potencies, wherein he accepts a form and then acts according to that form, but still he's the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although, actually, it's very interesting. Srila Prabhupada, you know, coined this phrase, or whether he got it from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're all the personality of Godhead, but Krishna happens to be the supreme of all of the personality of Godheads. Right? He is the Godhead. Right? The Godhead. And what does Godhead, this is a word not commonly, not, you know, before Prabhupada came along, practically speaking, not used very much in the modern vernacular, in the modern idiom. Right? Godhead. What does that mean, Godhead? The head of gods? Yeah, it could be. Why not? It usually means the source, right? The source, the fountain head, means the source of the fountain. So Godhead is the source of all of the other incarnations. So even though he appears for the pleasure of his devotees, he appears. Paritranaya sadunam vinasaya chatuskritam. He appears to protect his devotees and in the process usually destroys a few demons, as a bit of entertainment. And to establish the principles of religion. Right? Sambhavami yuge yuge. He appears millennium after millennium. To explain this to, I didn't go into that last bit, but the short version to our guests. And one of the guests said, that's a very nice explanation. Very easy to understand. Very easy to understand. He's just like an actor who assumes different roles according to the relationships that he has with his devotees, the circumstance or the environment in which he appears. And so in this way we can understand it's the same person, but he's manifesting his various pastimes according to his pleasure and also according to the pleasure of his devotees. Krishna's devotees are so pleasing to him, and the relationships that he has with his devotees are so satisfying for him that he'll appear in order to fulfill their desires. Usually we think, we're all here to serve God, but God also likes to reciprocate with the pet devotees, with his very dear devotees, and so therefore he also appears to make them happy. They appear to make him happy. He appears to make them happy. And when he appears in the form of Krishna, Ishvaraha Parama Krishna, he appears in his unique supreme personality of Godhead form. All of the other forms are, interestingly enough, described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They're all expansions of the Mahavishnu. Ultimately, Mahavishnu, Garbhodakasaya Vishnu, Chiradakasaya Vishnu, who appears as the super soul, yet resides on the spiritual planet Svetadvipa within the material world, but it's still a spiritual planet. And from him the various incarnations come. And there's a list of about 25 incarnations in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the fifth chapter, is it, of the first canto?
Third chapter, yeah.
But when it comes to Krishna, it said, ete champsa kala pumsa, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Of this line of incarnations, the appearance of Krishna is special. Because Krishna is not an expansion of Vishnu. Oftentimes when I go to people's places and give a program, especially with the South Indian community, they say, doesn't Krishna come from Vishnu? Because this is what they've been told over many generations. Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu. Right? That's what they say. All of the avatars are expansions of Vishnu. Yes, that's a fact. But the Bhagavatam teaches us Krishna is special. Because when he comes personally himself. Ete champsa kalapamsa. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. He's the original Bhagavan from whom all of the Vishnu expansions come. And of course they're puzzled because, they've heard for so long. So then I say to them, okay, if Lord Vishnu is the supreme, why is it that his consort Lakshmi wanted to perform austerities so she could then enter into the pastimes with Radha and Krishna and the gopis in Vrindavan. Why is that? And they never heard this before. They go, what? Because that means that Krishna's pastimes are so attractive that they're attractive for Lakshmi. She wants to go and join those pastimes. Right? So that means the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are superior to the pastimes of Lakshmi Narayan. Right? Vishnu and his consort. Lord Vishnu and his consort. So Krishna is very, very special. And he appears in order to establish, you know, the principles of religion. But what are the principles of religion, not as they are in a mundane moral sense, but rather the principle of religion which is manifest in the topmost, the purest devotion of the residents of Vrindavan. In where we see Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha, then we see the awe and reverential mood of the devotees in wanting to render service all the time and always being dutiful. And well, of course, it's not that the residents of Vrindavan aren't dutiful, but they're not necessarily bound by the strict codes of what we might call dharma or religiosity. Right? Krishna says, Sarva Dhammam Parityaja, give up all kinds of religion and just surrender unto me. So the highest religion is actually that which is evinced or that which is exhibited by the residents of Vrindavan in their dealings with Krishna, where we see very intimate, this very intimate set of relationships, far more intimate. And as a result of that intimacy, also very bewildering, can be very bewildering, right? Because sometimes it appears that the residents of Vrindavan break the rules of religiosity, right? You know, Krishna's playing his flute just to attract young girls to dance in the forest with him at midnight. That's what, well, everybody likes that, because that's what they like to do. Krishna can be, you know, he's criticized sometimes. If Krishna is the supreme person to establish religiosity, how come he's got so many girlfriends? Or how come he's always stealing things? Right? You know, he's glorified as Makanjor, a thief, right? He's praised and glorified as a thief and a womanizer and somebody who tells lies, right? Encourages people to tell lies, right? Just for his own purposes. So, you know, what kind of a god is this? So it can be bewildering. Although if we look at these pastimes in the context of the previous acharyas and in the context of the parampara, we can see that Krishna performs these pastimes to show that the exception proves the rule. And in the exceptional circumstances being that the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself has appeared personally. He's actually brought, you know, it's said that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Right? Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So he goes all over the place. He's here in Melbourne. Right? Krishna's here in Melbourne. And Prabhupada said, this is not Melbourne. Right? This is Vrindavan. Right? So wherever Krishna goes, he brings the spiritual world with him. Very important. We sometimes become, you know, too familiar with Krishna. When we walk into the temple, it's okay, we're all right. Come and see my friends, have a bit of a chat, right? Take it easy, take a bit of a shalom. But actually, you know, and this is this example was when the minister for planning came the other day. He was talking to me and he said, "I really appreciate the atmosphere here in the temple." He said, "You don't feel this anywhere else." Right? Now, when we come into the temple, we don't feel any different. Right? We're always coming to the temple. Right? And, you know, we might even be a bit critical. "Oh, Prashadam's not as good today." Right? "Oh, the deity's not, yeah, oh, they're all right." But, it happened before also one time. I've told this story before, but there was, I was part of an interfaith group in the early 80s and during the 80s. And we had the members of that group come to the temple. And one of the Anglican priests, he was eating, he was having prasadam, and he said, "Oh, this is fantastic." He said, "This is the first vegetarian meal I've ever had." Huh? "This is really good." Huh? And then after he came out of the temple, he said, "It's amazing." He said, "I got the same sense, the same feeling that I got when I visited temples in Asia, like Angkor Wat, and he said, I got this sense of this special mood that you can't get anywhere else." So you know, that's the fragrance or that feeling, that emotion, that mood is the manifestation of Vrindavan in the material world. It appears to be in the material world, but actually it's not. Because wherever Krishna goes, then he brings Goloka Vrindavan with him. Or when Krishna appears through the mercy of his representative who exhibits, manifests that mode of, or that mood of service, just like Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada went around the world, and when the devotees were associating with Prabhupada, they said that, you know, being with Prabhupada was special. It was as if the material world ceased to exist. Huh? Prabhupada says this is the first test of a guru. Anybody know what that is? What's the first test of a guru? In the context, I'll give you another clue. In the context of the Guru Vashtakam prayers, especially the first prayer, the first test of a guru is what? Oh, that's your daughter's got a hand up, not you. Couldn't see her head. Vishaka, isn't it? Have you got the answer, Vishaka? No. She had a hand up. Rasanandini. Warm, no, pretty hot, really. Mm-hmm. Hot, not fully.
More clues.
More clues. No, I can't give any more clues. No, the words of the spiritual master destroy the fire of material distress. Prabhupada says. Huh? That's why we have this ganaganatvam, the water coming. And Prabhupada says, the mercy is not the guru's. Interesting. You know, when we say, "Oh, I got the mercy from the guru." Actually, we don't. Well, we do, we kind of get it through the guru, but actually it's Krishna's mercy. The spiritual master is the via medium. It's not his mercy, it's actually Krishna's mercy. He gets the mercy from the cloud of mercy. That's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So being with Prabhupada was special, because when you're with Prabhupada, then you're absorbed in this mood of service to Krishna, the Vrindavan atmosphere, the Goloka Vrindavan atmosphere, where the devotees are specially connected in a very intimate mood. Madhurya, Vatsalya, Dasya, not Dasya, Sakya, Ras, the three highest rasas are manifest very completely in that mood. That very special mood is part of what makes Vrindavan very, very special, and part of what makes the temples, especially the temples of ISKCON, where the devotees are serving in the context of following Srila Prabhupada's instructions. You know, when we follow Prabhupada's instructions, then we are relieved from material distress. Not only are we relieved from material distress, but we're also established, so that's liberation, but we're also established in our relationship with Krishna. What's the second test in the context of the Guru Vashtakam? What's it going to be then? What is the spiritual master doing? Mahaprabho Kirtana Nitya Leela. What's he doing?
Chanting.
Yes, he's chanting Hare Krishna. He's glorifying Lord Chaitanya. He's getting others to chant Hare Krishna and to glorify the Lord. Okay, third test. What's the third test going to be? Deity worship. Yes, he worships the deity. And we can see that. Prabhupada established temples all around the world. In order to establish that mood, he established the deities. And so we have, you know, in Melbourne we have Sri Mayapur Dham in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. We have Vrindavan Dham in the form of Radha Balabha and Radha Krishna. Right? Our deities are actually called Radha Balabha, and the little deities are called Radha Krishna. That's how they were installed. And then we have Purushottam Chetra. We have Jagannath Puri with Balaram, Subhadra and Lord Jagannath. Because there's a very special, you know, relationship between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, which exhibits or manifests the highest, the Vipralamba Seva, the highest mood of devotion, which is exhibited by the residents of Vrindavan after Krishna left. Right? Amazingly. That's the highest. And you see that relationship in Jagannath Puri, and especially in the Rath Yatra, where we have Lord Chaitanya in the mood, it's Krishna himself, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, calling Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra to come back to Vrindavan. So there's that mood of separation. And so that's why the Jagannath Puri is very important. So the mood of service in all of these dhams is manifest through the personality of servitor Godhead, if you like. Prabhupada says the Guru is servitor Godhead. Srila Prabhupada is a very powerful representative or manifestation, Srila Prabhupada especially, very powerful, empowered manifestation of Krishna and Krishna's mercy in the material world. In that, he can establish the dharms and establish Krishna's presence by his activities. What's the fourth test? Chatur Prasadat. Chatur Prasadat. Six types of prasadam, right? That which can be sipped, that which can be chewed, that which can be sucked, that which can be drunk. What's the other one? Licked. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sometimes thrown around. We used to have prasadam competitions, gulab competitions. Throw it up in the air. Catch it. So we see these activities in Srila Prabhupada, and that by performing these activities, he's able to bring Krishna into the material world in forms that are appreciable, tangible for the aspiring devotees. So they can develop their relationship with the Lord. And so they can enter, you know, this feeling of special feeling that we experience when we come into the temple is that mood of service. That's the prime feature. Krishna wants to serve his devotees and make them happy, and the devotees want to serve Krishna and make him happy. And so there's no selfishness in the realm of Vrindavan. And people pick up on that. The planning minister, Matthew Guy, he said to me, he said, this place is special. And when he, the other day, Friday night, there was a business dinner with the Indian community and the leaders of the Liberal Party and the Labour Party, and because there's an election coming up, so people want to get votes, obviously. But when he saw Bhakta, he was made a beeline to Bhakta, shook his hand, and much to the amazement of everybody else, he ignored everybody else and went and spoke to Bhakta, and he said, you know, the feeling that I got in the temple, he said, that's just amazing. I never experienced anything like that before. So there's a degree of protection. There's a degree of, there's a feeling of elevation. There's a feeling of exhilaration when we participate or when we are engaged in devotional service to Krishna. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all sources, the Satchit Ananda. You know, it appears that the deity looks like it's made of wood, or it looks like it's made of stone, or it looks like it's made of metal. But actually, this is simply to give some form to what is actually a spiritual form, so that we can appreciate it with our material senses. But actually, when we welcome the Lord, then he's not manifest in a material form, he's actually manifest in his spiritual form. And in that way, we can get a connection with Krishna. Especially on days like today, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the festival, the special recognition of the pastimes, the appearance pastimes of the Lord, and a codicy, you know, these very sacred and holy days, the mothers of devotion. So on these days we can develop and increase our enthusiasm and our intimacy with the Lord through celebration of the event, by rendering of service, by chanting Hare Krishna, by associating with the devotees, working together for Krishna's pleasure. And our pleasure also. We derive great satisfaction and happiness from even the austerities we might perform. The place gets crowded, right? You can't walk around. It's dirty. The neighbours are all scowling at us, ringing up the council, going, you know, all these people parking speakers out, giving tickets. It's all part of the festival, right? Don't tell the neighbours that we're laughing about it. They're scowling. I heard one of the neighbours the other day. He didn't know that I was behind him, or maybe he did. Actually, I think he did. And there were people coming for, was it Balaram Purnim? And they're driving around. He said, bloody idiots driving around. Driving around in circles. Because he just got a park in his house. He was feeling pretty happy. He must have been feeling pretty unhappy when he got here and there was no park. So he was driving around too in circles. And then somebody left. So he got a park. Then all the other fellows are bloody idiots. Not him. I think he might have said that for my benefit. I'm not sure. But his kids were looking at me with a very worried look on their face, you know. What's Dad saying? Anyway, we should keep the neighbours in mind. They're our friends as well. They're feeling the influence of Krishna's, you know, Shakti. Well, that might crowd them a little. It's like, getting squeezed in a little bit. So, you know, a unique opportunity to connect with Krishna and to connect with so many others and to connect so many others to Krishna's special lila, ultimately, you know, given to us by Srila Prabhupada. We owe everything to Srila Prabhupada, giving this opportunity to appreciate Krishna as the supreme controller, the supreme enjoyer, the source, Anadi Adi Govinda. He is the beginning of all beginnings, but he himself has no beginning. The cause of all causes, Sarva Karana Karanam. His association, his service is basically given to us by Srila Prabhupada. And you know, maybe not even Srila Prabhupada, but Prabhupada's devotees. You know, how most of us didn't meet Srila Prabhupada personally. And yet we can have the same connection through Krishna has empowered the parampara to transmit this knowledge and this these activities of devotion such that whoever connects to the parampara, then they get the same benefit, they get the same connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through hearing transcendental knowledge, by distributing transcendental knowledge, by glorifying Lord Chaitanya and expanding the Sankirtan, by worshipping the deities, by distribution of prasadam. This is how we act as a via medium for Krishna's mercy to descend on everyone. Through the action of the parampara, this is how we actually get Krishna's mercy. You know, Prabhupada says we can't go directly to Krishna, right? We don't, and you know, it's interesting. Prabhupada didn't speak in public, if at all, about about Radha and Krishna's pastimes and, you know, highly elevated subject matter. Lord Chaitanya didn't either. Lord Chaitanya only spoke about the intimate leelas of Krishna in the association of a few devotees. Because that doesn't mean that we shouldn't, you know, discuss and understand the Krishna book and so forth. But some devotees from New Zealand were asking me the other day, do you go beyond the 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam when you do the Srimad Bhagavatam in Melbourne? You know, because some say, well, that's where Prabhupada went up to and we shouldn't go any further. Right? But if we, you know, don't go any further because Prabhupada didn't write about it, right? It's not Prabhupada, but it's somebody else wrote about it, then we're going to miss out on, you know, there's 84 chapters of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, so we're going to miss on it, out on about, 85% of Krishna's pastimes. Right? So we should know these things, we should study them. But generally, you know, in public, our preaching, and even in amongst the devotees, Prabhupada didn't talk, especially on, you know, Radha Krishna Leela. Prabhupada didn't do it. And Lord Chaitanya didn't do it either. Very, very intimate, because it's very, very elevated. Very, very elevated. Only for a very, you know, very pure devotees is that subject matter understandable and relishable in the proper way. So we learn this from Srila Prabhupada. So whether we get the instruction directly, well, we can't get it directly from Krishna, but we can get it directly from Krishna axiomatically by studying the Bhagavad Gita. But we can't jump over the parampara or the disciplic succession to connect directly with Krishna. Neither can we jump over directly to get Prabhupada. Now we have to get our connection through the devotees. And that connection is just as potent. As we see, many, many devotees were given a Maha Mantra by somebody other than Prabhupada. How many here got the Maha Mantra directly from Srila Prabhupada? You got the Maha Mantra before you met Prabhupada. Yeah. You got your initiation from Prabhupada. That's different. Right? Now, because we got it from somebody other than Prabhupada or whatever, does that mean it didn't work? How many here chanting Hare Krishna and they don't feel like it's working? Well, most of us actually, but yeah, that's humility. That's because we're not paying attention. But if we're paying attention to the Maha Mantra, then we're making progress, aren't we? And are we helping others? We're helping others also. We're also making devotees. Right? This is the test of the potency of the devotee, is that they're making devotees. That's the test, or one of the tests, right? Relieving others from material distress. And so we can see it's happening, even, and this is how the parampara works. And Krishna empowers it, right? Through Prabhupada, and then through those who faithfully follow Prabhupada. We get our connection with Krishna by how faithfully we follow Prabhupada's instructions. This is the unique position of Srila Prabhupada as the Shiksha Guru of all of us and the founder of Acharya of ISKCON. Unique. You know, because there's a bit of a dilemma, a dichotomy here. We say you can't jump over. Yet, we say you can have a direct connection with Prabhupada. So that's a contradiction, isn't it? Right? It's a contradiction. You can't jump over, yet you can have a relationship with Prabhupada. The reason why we can have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada is because of his unique position as the founder acharya of our society, which is one of the reasons why we all come together, must come together and worship Srila Prabhupada tomorrow. And you all have to write an homage. Right? It's our duty to write an homage to Srila Prabhupada. So tomorrow we're going to be focusing on our devotees' homages. Let's see if we have many people come. They'll stay away. Oh, my God, I didn't write my homage. I know when the first Vyasa Puja that I went to, that's really when I was struck by the Krishna consciousness movement is for keeps, right? These guys are deadly serious about what they're doing. And they said, the devotee Sikhi Pucha said to me, he said, okay, back to Annie, we want you to write a homage to Prabhupada. You know, I'd only been chanting 16 rounds for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or something. I thought, write a homage? I don't even know who Prabhupada is. I never met him. What am I going to say? But it's easy. You could just say, dear Srila Prabhupada, I like you because... And then put in a couple of sentences. Right? Huh? That's all you need to do. But we have this special, you know, this special connection. And that's also our connection to Krishna. You know, there was no... The first night I spent in the temple was Janmashtami night. And I felt connected to Krishna. In the temple in Adelaide at that time, there was only Gaura Hari. There was only one deity, and it was a deity of Lord Chaitanya. Right? Which I don't think there was another temple in the world that worshipped Lord Chaitanya by himself. Huh? No, I don't think so. So, but anyway, I felt very connected to Krishna. I remember hearing, you know, going to the Bhagavatam class and hearing about, you know, how the Karmis are all just hog dogs, camels and asses. And then I remember going to the supermarket in the morning to buy some boga for the offering, and I was looking at the people walking around the supermarket, and I thought, yeah, he looks like a dog. That guy looks like a dog. I got really absorbed in the whole thing. You know, then I went and told my brother, you know, if you chant Hare Krishna, you're going to become a hog, dog, camel and ass in your next life. I was a bit of a Hare Krishna fanatic. Even later on, my friends were scared of me. The devotees from Melbourne came over to Adelaide, some of the householders and, you know, kind of not temple devotees, congregational devotees, and they were staying in our house, and we came home from the temple one morning, might have been the Sunday morning, and they were drinking tea in my house, right? Krishna's house, the pure house. And somehow or other, they discovered some tea that we had stashed in the cupboard. I said, what are you doing drinking tea? I was furious. So, a little bit of a fanatic. So anyway, when the devotees had the Vyasa Puja, they asked me to write an homage. I couldn't write a homage because I felt, you know, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to express what I felt. But what I felt was genuine. I felt, you know, even though I was only a devotee of 2 or 3 weeks, and, you know, I was living in the temple then, or staying in the temple overnight and doing, you know, at midnight, Sikhi Pooja said, hey, back to Andy, we need some help in the kitchen. Can you do the kitchen cleanup? I said, oh, yeah, okay, all right. And we went and cleaned the kitchen, which is generally not for the faint-hearted, right? So, you know, I felt, and then in the morning, it was 4 o'clock, and I'd gone to bed at, you know, maybe 2 o'clock, and it was 4 o'clock, and so I jumped out of my sleeping bag, and all the other brahmacharis, the older brothers, they're all sleeping. I said, okay, Prabhuji, let's go, it's Mangalati, and they're going, oh, take it easy, you know, calm down. But I felt like I belonged. I felt, you know, we become a little bit fanatic sometimes because we feel the potency when we first come to Krishna consciousness. We feel the genuine connection with Krishna, and we feel that relief from material distress. And so we have that what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur described as that utsahatmayi. You know, that's the beginning of devotional service, that beginning enthusiasm, right? And we think, yeah, I'm a paramahamsa now. Huh? And everybody should do what I tell them to do. So, I felt connected and the experience was real, but I didn't know how to express it. And so I couldn't write an offering. But it's not difficult, you know, you just write down, Dear Srila Prabhupada, I like you because... And then list. Write a list. Huh? And if you can tell a story... And all the better. So anyway, we appreciate Srila Prabhupada and we appreciate his representatives and we're their servants. And as a result of that service, we're able to imbibe and you know, appreciate and absorb ourselves in that mood of devotion to Krishna. You know, such that we feel... like we're also Satchit Ananda. Right? We feel happy. That's the test. Susukam katam avyayam. That's the test of devotion. Even in the most difficult circumstances, if a devotee remains fixed in devotion to Krishna, then those difficulties just shrink into nothing. Easily... what appears to be insurmountable becomes easy to overcome when one becomes absorbed in devotional service. That's Krishna's potency, as is mentioned here. And that's what we're attracted to. We're attracted to that taste of devotional service. You know, even when a devotee leaves Krishna, leaves Krishna in quotation marks. Prabhupada says he's always thinking how to get back to Krishna, because he can't forget that taste. Param drishtva nivartate. You know, that higher taste of devotional service cannot be forgotten. So even if a person apparently leaves Krishna, they're still thinking, I've got to get back. And when people come and associate with the devotees, they realize this is special. That rasa. It's the bhakti rasa. The rasa of bhakti is so potent, so powerful, and so delicious that everybody wants to taste it. Even Krishna wants to taste it. That's why he comes as Lord Chaitanya. So attractive. And it's manifest in Vrindavan to its fullest. And it comes when Krishna comes. Krishna comes and brings Goloka Vrindavan with him. Or he sends his representative, empowered representative like Srila Prabhupada, who also brings the mood of Vrindavan and brings Krishna with him. What is it? You have Krishna. What is that? The song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Krishna, Krishna. Yeah, you can give me Krishna. You've got Krishna, and so therefore you can give me Krishna. And that's what Prabhupada's doing. And ultimately, when we act on Prabhupada's instructions, ultimately Krishna's instructions, and we give Krishna to others, we're doing the same thing. Actually, even though we might not appreciate it, might not feel it, that's exactly what we're doing. But, you know, we're able to celebrate and sacrifice on a day like Janmashtami, following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, and that way, you know, increasing our affection and attraction for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Godhead, you know, the source of all of the incarnations, and you know, the source of our inspiration, in devotional service. All right, so I think we should finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Differentiate our will and Krishna's will. It's Krishna's arrangement. Yeah, when it goes wrong, it's Krishna's mercy. How do we differentiate between our reactions and Krishna's mercy? Well, the philosophical explanation is that when we take initiation, the spiritual master on Krishna's behalf takes away our karma. Right? Krishna and the spiritual master take away our karma. So, and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya says that Krishna accepts the devotee as good as himself. Right? But then we get reactions down the track and we think, hang on a second, this can't be right. I was supposed to have been relieved of all of my reactions. How come I'm getting this and that and the other thing? Huh? I'm a devotee. Why am I being picked on? Huh? This is not fair. Huh? I'm doing everything that they told me to do. Right? I put my tilak on properly, I can put my dhoti on. Right? I shaved up, got a sika. I'm doing everything, but I'm still getting reactions. Something's fishy. Something's not right. Right? We think like that, if we're not careful. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that, yes, we're relieved of our reactions, but there's still a residual attachment to the material world. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Right? There's still and that residual attachment is the last vestiges of pride that have to be removed. And those last remnants of pride and attachment are actually removed by Krishna himself. And so those apparent reactions, although they may look like your karma, they're actually not. You know, as Prabhupada says, you know, if you really got your karma, then it will be a lot worse. But when we get setbacks in our devotional service or setbacks in our life, and they appear inexplicable, then we can only see it in one way, or we should only see it in one way. You know, sometimes we think, oh, it's that devotee over there who did it to me, or it's the GBC, or it's ISKCON, or, you know, so many things. All these people picking on me. But ultimately, we have to see that behind the workings of our karma and the reactions that we get, that ultimately it's Krishna. And especially when we're initiated, that it is directed by Krishna and that we deserve it. Right? We take responsibility for it. Although that can be, you know, that requires a lot of, that requires a very deep, sincerity on the part of the devotee, because our initial response is to usually blame the agent of our karma, right? Oh, Dad, you don't like me anymore. It's our father giving us some chastisement, so we think, ah, it's your fault. Ultimately, behind the dad is Krishna. Or this, you know, we have an accident, or what? Or he, relevant to today. You know, we have the very unfortunate circumstances of Preeta still in rehab, as I understand it, right? And not able to do very much, isn't it? So here's a young devotee in the prime of her life, attractive young girl, and then... Right? Why is that? And we have to see, ultimately behind that, is Krishna's affection. That's not easy to do. You have to be deeply meditative and philosophical to see that ultimately the reactions that we get as devotees are orchestrated by Krishna. But that's what's happening. To remove that last, those last attachments, which can run very deep, right? Our attachment to material enjoyment runs so deep. Which is, you know, why, you know, the very pure, you know, Uttam Bhakta considers himself, I'm the most fallen. How did I come into the material world? It means I must be attached to, you know, the enjoying here. How silly. But yet, here I am. So therefore, we should consider ourselves, you know, humble. So this is, you know, that's the pride. And that gets smashed by Krishna. For our benefit. It's hard to see it sometimes, but that it is ultimately for our benefit. Does that answer your question? So what is it? Krishna's mercy or our desire? What is it? Yes. So now you're trying to blame Krishna for us being in the material world. Huh? Krishna, why did you make the material world for? Could have just kept me in the spiritual world. The problem is that we wanted the material world. Right? We wanted the material world, and so therefore Krishna creates it. Just like the Prabhupada explains, the government doesn't want to set up prisons. They've got better things to do. But because we've got all these, you know, people smoking crack and doing all sorts of crazy stuff, right? They have to create a prison to keep them, you know, from destroying everything for everybody else, right? So they lock them up. They don't want to lock them up, right? We don't want to lock up the crazies in a prison. It's expensive. You have to look after them. You've got to feed them. You have to counsel them, try to rectify them. Then you let them out and they go crazy again. Huh? Huh? In fact, actually, when you put them in a prison, then they get worse. Because they're associating with all of the crazies. Huh? This is why association is so important. So Krishna creates the material world for the crazies to go. And then they associate with each other and drive each other crazy. Right? But that's because they want to be crazy. Then after a while they realize, it's not much fun being crazy. I wonder what it's like being sane. Huh? And then a devotee comes and says, well, here's what you do to be sane. And, you know, sometimes in a moment of good fortune, they decide, oh, I'll give it a try. I'll try to be sane. Huh? Then still sometimes they go crazy again. But Prabhupada said, we're in a hospital. So don't be surprised if there's somebody has a relapse from time to time. Huh? Because our desire is so strong. Right? We're attracted. You know, we love Krishna, we like to chant Hare Krishna, we like prasadam. Right? Everybody likes prasadam, everybody likes to chant Hare Krishna. But sometimes we go crazy. Right? And we think, oh, mum and dad, or, you know, whatever it is. My job, my family, my wife, my kids. You know, we should think of those things in a proper context, but we start to see things from the material perspective again. And then we lament, oh no, why can't I get it together? That we're learning from that, actually. That's Krishna's mercy showing us again the dark side of Krishna consciousness, the dark side of material existence, and the relief that we get from Krishna consciousness, our natural position. Right? Like Prabhupada says, you can surround a hungry man with all opulence, Rolls Royce motor car, soft couch, fans, you know, soft, gentle music. But what does he want? He just wants something to eat. Just give me something to eat. Huh? All I need is something to eat. Oh, here you go. Here's a nice magazine to read. Huh? No, I just want something to eat. Here you go. Here's a nice pair of gloves. Some socks, sir. Would you like a pair of socks? So, you know, in the material world, we're getting all of these things. We're giving socks and, you know, all these different things, material things. But what we really want is Krishna consciousness. That's where we're really hungry. But occasionally, you know, we become satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Then what happens is the desire to enjoy comes up, and we want to enjoy even in Krishna consciousness. But that's wrong. The mood actually is service. In Krishna consciousness. Then you enjoy. Not I enjoy, you know, oh, that was nectar, Prabhu, let's go out and get the nectar. That's wrong mentality. We don't go out to get the nectar. We go out to serve, then automatically, ipso facto, the nectar will come. But if we're going out, oh, I want to get the nectar, then Krishna will show you, you know, he'll turn his back on you, quick smart. Huh? You can see that. You know, on Sankirtan we go out and we do book distribution and we're distributing books and we talk to people and we're cracking jokes and everybody's doing everything that we want them to do and giving us donations and we think, wow, empower today. Right, having a great time. And we come back and we put in the score so many points and so much Lakshmi and everybody goes, joy, joy, joy. And we're thinking, yes, I'm pretty good. I'll go out today and I'll do the same thing. And then we go out and we're struggling to get people to stop and they're swearing at us and cursing us and we're getting depressed. I think, oh no, I want to go back to the temple. I haven't shown my rounds properly. I need to read. I haven't read Prabhupada's books. And, you know, so many mental concoctions going on. What we've got to do to get back on that platform. But, you know, ultimately that's been given to us and taken away by Krishna according to our service mood. And when we get into the enjoying mood of devotional service, then Krishna turns away. And they'll be like, oh, Krishna, I need a meter. That's what happens with Radharani, right? Radharani, you know, went to fall back into Krishna's arms and then he's gone. Bing, gone. So we have to have the right mentality. And because we have the wrong mentality, then the material world has been created for us. Because the residents of the spiritual world need a place to keep the devotees who are out of it in check. Muchukunda. I'm getting wound up by a few people, so better make this quick. What's that? He says he's not a devotee. Yeah. Yeah.
But for some, it's just, like, for me, it's just plain false ego. I identify with something else. And so should I try to identify...
As a devotee? Yeah. You don't identify with the devotees?
No.
What are you wearing those clothes for?
Just for fun.
Yeah,
for a front.
For a front. You're a show bottle. That's your humility. I'm not going to believe it. I know you're a devotee. What do you reckon? Anybody going to fall for this? False humility? You're a devotee. In other words, why do you shave your head? Why do you chant Hare Krishna? See, that's the dichotomy or the paradox of being a devotee. The devotee is a devotee, but he doesn't feel like he's a devotee. And the more he doesn't feel like a devotee, the more of a devotee he is. So that's weird, isn't it? That could do your head in. Am I a devotee or am I not a devotee? What am I? I'm not a devotee. That's it, I'm not a devotee. But hang on a second, I am a devotee. You like that, Cindy? What are you, a devotee or not a devotee? It's okay, you don't have to worry about it. That's only happened. You worry about that kind of stuff when you grow up. Yes, because we're also realistic. We have to be convinced, and out of our conviction comes action. And that action is devotional service. So in that respect, we are a devotee. There's no doubt about it. You know, if we say, oh, I'm not, you know, if people ask you, are you a Hare Krishna? What are you going to say? No, I'm not a Hare Krishna. And they're going to look at you and say, well, you've got the tilak on, you've got your kirtan on, you've got your dhoti on, you've got your beads, you've got your hand in a bead bag, and you're going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you say you're not a Hare Krishna. What are they going to think? What's wrong with this guy? But why do you go around all over the place painting Krishna everywhere? Huh? Obviously because you have some sentiment, some affection for Krishna, so therefore you're a devotee. Right? But on the other side, we still, as Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, we still have this vestige of attachment to material enjoyment. It's just a little, you know, little bit. And so that distracts us from time to time. And so therefore when those distractions come, then that's when we feel, I'm not a devotee. That's the humility. That's actually the humility of a devotee. And that's the mood of a devotee. That I'm trying to be a devotee. Like Lord Chaitanya said, you know, I'm not a devotee. I have no attraction for Krishna. And his disciples would say, whenever you chant the name of Krishna, tears are pouring out of your eyes. And he said, this is just a show. I'm just making a show. So, you know, in his or her inner mood, there's that submission or that presentation of surrender. In view of the fact that we've been in the material world for so long, we came to the material world because of material desires, and we still have that vestige of, or that remnant of material desire still exists within the heart, which we're waiting to be purified of or purified from. So, you know, the devotee comes forward in the liturgy of the in the Christian liturgy. There's part of the service. I forgot the name of it now. Where the aspiring disciple places himself before the Lord and says, you know, there's a prayer. I remember one line that I remember from. I am not worthy so much as to gather the crumbs under thy table. Right. So there's this mood of submission, and it's in the devotees too. It's in our prayers when we sing the prayers of the spiritual master. It's in the chanting of Hare Krishna. We're offering ourselves in submission, and there's that mood of feeling, you know, I've come to the material world. Why did I do such a silly thing? You know, why am I so attached to material enjoyment when I know that the superior engagement is as a devotee? So on the one hand, there's the repentance, and then on the other side, there's the aspiration to be a better devotee. They go together. Right? So yes, we feel like we're not really making progress or we haven't made progress, but at the same time, we also have to be honest enough to admit that we are making progress. Right? Otherwise, we're all going to be very unhappy. Aren't we? We're all going to be unhappy. And one of the things that Dennis Natthine, the Premier, said, he said, you know, it's such a pleasure to go to the Hare Krishna temple. Everybody's happy there. Huh? Why? Because we get the higher taste of devotion. When we connect to Krishna, we get the higher taste. So we're happy. One time when Prabhupada was in Africa, one of his servants was moping around and sulking and in mire. And, you know, Prabhupada once said, you know, why don't you get out of here? Why don't I have to see your sulking, moping face? Prabhupada really, you know, chastising him. Because, you know, if we're engaged in devotional service, we should be happy. So in that sense, we're a devotee. But then when we get a little bit distracted sometimes and we realise, not much difference between me as a devotee and me as a demon. So I've got to be careful. Always be a devotee. Okay? Then you walk down the street, you happen to see something in the shop, walking down the street, whatever, you go, what's that? And you have to, you know, back to Krishna. Because it's that enjoying mood. It's that enjoying mood comes out. And it's not, that's not unnatural. We enjoy enjoyers by nature. That's who we are. We're enjoyers. But we have to learn the art of enjoying with Krishna, which means, first of all, being a servant, then automatically the enjoyment will come. Just like in explaining the nectar devotion. Daruka, who's Krishna's charioteer? Daruka? He's fanning Krishna. And he's feeling ecstasy and he's starting to tremble and lose composure. And he's praying, oh, Krishna, let this ecstasy go away so I can serve you. Huh? So a devotee will naturally feel ecstasy. But if it disturbs his service, he'll check it. Huh? Not, oh, here's the ecstasy again. Oh, great. Huh? That's cool. Whoa, groovy. That will come automatically. We don't need to force ecstasy. It'll come. Neither do we have to force struggle and problems. They come too. Right? We're in the material world. Don't be surprised. This is the other thing. When devotees experience setbacks and they think, oh, hey, I'm a devotee. This is not supposed to happen to devotees. But they forget the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita. You know, look what happened to the Pandavas. The trick is of a devotee that we have to be sober and steady regardless of pleasure or pain. Because in the material world, it is going to come. Difficulties will come. Pleasure will come. Don't be surprised when there's a problem. It's normal. Right? And then, you know, and the advantage is when there's problems, we can then develop that devotional mood further and go deeper and deeper into our internal meditation and take out the ego, pleasing activities. Right? I read an there's a website blog on called Life Hacker, and you know it's a mixture of all sorts of different advice, but sometimes they give some pretty good advice, and you know they'll give you advice on how to build a container so that you can keep your six pack cool, right? Which is, you know, what do we want to know about that for? But one article that I read the other day, it said, put aside those titles or those activities which are just feeding your ego but wasting your time. Right? So you know he's saying, if you've got titles or activities that just make you look big for everybody else, but they're actually useless, get rid of them. Right? So devotees do that sometimes. You know, we look for a bit of praise and glorification. We should avoid that. We should just look for the service. That's when the real reciprocation will come with the spiritual master and with Krishna. Right? When we're looking to get a bit of glorification or a bit of power or influence or whatever, material things, then we'll never get that taste that we're actually looking for. Right? We have desires for those things, and so we have to watch out for them. We have to see them, because they're the weeds. Lord Chaitanya says that as a gardener, we need to water the creeper of devotion, which is chanting Hare Krishna. But also as a gardener, we need to have a fence around our garden. That's to keep out bad association, of which there is ample quantity throughout, you know, our existence. But then also, within our heart, when we're watering the plant of devotion, the seeds of other material desires that are the remnants in our heart, they'll also get watered and they'll come up. So we need to look at those. Right? When they come up big, that's when we think, oh, I'm not really a devotee. But what we have to do as a devotee is learn to recognize them, grab them, and throw them out. And really, that's in the process of chanting Hare Krishna. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, we need to put aside all of the different thoughts and the meditations that come in, right? Experiences from yesterday, experiences from last year, experiences from our childhood, our desires for the future, this, that and the other thing. And just concentrate on the mantra and concentrate on the prayer of the mantra, which means, Krishna, please engage me in your service. When we do that, then we remove the non-devotee and we encourage the devotee within us. We nurture and nourish the devotee within us. This is why the chanting of Hare Krishna is so important. So, you know, in that process, we see the non-devotee and we ignore him. This is really how to get rid of material desires. They'll come up in the heart, right? Then what do we do when we're chanting Hare Krishna? What do we do when a material desire comes up? Material desire comes up and we kind of go, that's interesting. Yeah, not bad. I could have a couple of those. Huh? And then we just keep on meditating on it. And we think, oh, those darn material desires, they won't go away. Huh? Keep pesky things, they just keep on hanging around. Oh, looks good, though. Huh? But what we've got to do is when we're chanting Hare Krishna, the material desire comes up and we've got to go and put it away. And just then hear the sound of the mantra. Listen to the mantra, listen to the mantra, listen to the mantra. Then eventually it'll go away. Right? But then have a guess what will happen. Well, there's another one. Not bad. Yeah, I had that one last year. Actually, that one comes from when I was 16 years old. Right? That's a good one, that one. I've had that one for a long time. Old friend of mine. Right? It's because we want them. You know, we think it's all Krishna's fault. All these material desires keep on coming up. When I say Krishna, just get rid of them. But we want them. We want them. That's the kind of the demon in us. And when we chant Hare Krishna, basically we're going, put it aside. New car, new job, new girlfriend, new boyfriend, more money, you know, you name it, incessant flow of distraction the mind can produce, right? Incessant flow of distraction. We have to, especially when we chant Hare Krishna, right? As soon as you pick up your beads and you tell the mind, you've got to listen to the sound of the Hare Krishna mantra and you're not supposed to meditate on material desires, and have a guess what the mind does. Well, I'm going to show you who's boss, mate. Huh? Try this, you know. try this and that and the other thing. That's what the mind does. As soon as you tell the mind not to do something, zoom, bang, it goes onto it. Right? So that's the demon. That's where the humility has to come in. We have to be very sincere and look at ourselves fairly and squarely. And as we cleanse the mirror of the mind, these reflections become clearer. And we're able to then distinguish between spiritual desires and material desires. And we push away the material desires by ignoring them. This is Krishna's suggestion, right? And that's where the devotee comes out. That's when the devotee actually comes out. And so, therefore, you know, we don't think like we don't feel like we're devotees, but we are devotees because, you know, we do everything as much as we can in the mood of devotion and service to the guru. So that's a devotee. All right, we should finish here. Gantarai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sisi Gornitai ki jai. Radha Balabha ki jai. Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra ki jai. Sri Janmashtami Mahabrata ki jai. Sri Janmashtami Mahatsava ki jai. Gaura Bhaktavinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.